Welcome back into the Halftime Show on this Thursday afternoon. Alongside Tommy Moody, I'm Jay Phillips, Captain Dave at Master Control, and we are joined on the guest line now by the man we've spent most of today's program talking about, and he is the one and only George Rogers, the subject of the great new documentary King George that debuted this week on the SEC Network. Big George, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. That King George stuff, where did they get that from?
Well, some Hollywood type said that. But, you know, in a lot of ways, and I've said this about you, and you and I spoke for a little bit this morning, and I was sharing with George a story about me at Jim Carlin football camp as a 9-year-old and what it was like to see a guy like that come eat with us. And from that day, George, I've met you many times and interviewed you many times and seen you off air. And in a lot of ways, very little has changed with how you want to be and how you treat people, whether it's little kids or adults that are older than you and everybody in between. That's who you are. And I don't mean to embarrass you, but I would think you feel the exact same way.
Well, Jay, you just did too, man. I tell you what, just to know that you back there in those days, I mean, it makes me feel old.
Well, I'm right there with you, and I got a bunch of kids now myself, but those are just great memories. Tell us what it was like. Not so much. I mean, we've reminisced with you about the playing days, and we know a lot about that. Let's get into the making of a documentary. Who comes to you first? Because obviously, you know the reputation of some of these filmmakers with ESPN and the SEC Network. They've done some tremendous stories. Give us an idea of what it was like, and then kind of going through the production process.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what, it wasn't an easy job, I can tell you that. I had to go back on in my memories trying to bring up some of these things. But I think the point of the whole thing was the drug part of it. And, you know, I want people to know that, you know, you can overcome a lot of things. And that was one of the things I wanted to do more than anything, is to get out of that environment. And I think that's what I did, you know, with the help of Coach Carlin and some of my coaches and friends and people like that. You know, I was able to reestablish myself and go back the right way.
And speaking of the right way, let's go back even a little bit farther to your days in Duluth, because I think one of the untold stories is your Aunt Otella and what she meant to you. And I got to tell you, man, it brought a tear to my eye to see her and see some of your cousins talking about those days. But it really does sound like without her direct influence, George,
sure,
where do you end up, you know?
I'm definitely ending up in jail because, she gave me a chance to go to school and a chance to – I had to be in church every day, every Sunday. But she brought me up. I had to make my bed up in the morning, something I wasn't doing when I was staying with my mom, because it was like five of us. But other than that, she gave me money to eat lunch, and I was eating right food. I was raised by her, you know, in my teen years, my 10th grade through 12th grade, and she taught me a whole lot of things. And then, you know, as time went on and I went to college and did all those kind of things, and then when I got by myself, thought I was grown, being a grown man, and I had to find out things about myself, and I did.
George, I remember when you were recruited by Jim Carlin and you'd started having some success at Carolina, and there was a lot of recruiting going on around the country in the Southeast that, well, I don't want to call it shady, but, well, I will call it kind of a shady recruiting. But I remember you saying that Jim Carlin offered you a scholarship, period. And tell us a little bit about Coach Carlin, because I know he was really special to you.
Oh, he kept me. It kept me from getting around the media. I did not like the media because I wasn't a very good talker. I wasn't very good at saying things about other people. So, Coach Carlin kept me kind of shaded around, saying, "Go talk to the other guys. Go talk to the linemen. Go talk to the quarterback and people like that." And that helped me out a whole lot. And plus, I wanted to, you know, when the game was over with, I wanted to go out and be with my teammates and be with my friends, you know, and he allowed me to do that, and I appreciate him so much of taking care of me and keeping me out of the media.
Talking to George Rogers here on 107.5 The Game. The documentary King George came out on Tuesday night on the SEC Network. It'll re-air several times, so make sure you get a chance to check it out. George, you mentioned kind of going back in the memory banks. What were some of the stories, beyond the ones you were talking about, the serious stuff, but what were some of the other things that maybe got conjured up as you went through the process of making the documentary?
Well, you know, it was a lot of fun. I can tell you that it was a lot of fun. I appreciate the way they did with my sister and my cousin Jan and my sister Cheryl. They did a great job with them. I thought they were real good in it. And you know, being a country boy, first of all, you know, comes with a lot of different things. You know, growing up, and I was just glad I was able to say some of the things that I've went through, and you know, people that have been through some of those kind of things know exactly what I'm talking about. But you know, Coach Carlin, I can't never forget him. And also Coach Brown, who's my running back coach. You know, he kind of steered me in the right direction too, because they all, you know, it was a team thing. Gary Hopper, J.D. Fuller, and all those guys, man, those guys made me look good. It wasn't just me. I always reserved the part to say what I did, because if it wasn't for that offensive line and those guys, it would have never happened.
And it was great to hear Gary talking about how, you know, you've let him use the trophy sometimes in his motivational speeches. And Gary, of course, is a minister now and is just such a tremendous influence on you as well. But let me ask you about one other man that I know is an influence and was in the documentary. And that's Coach Harold White. I can tell already. But let people know what Coach Harold White really means to guys like you.
Let me tell you something. You know what? He was very instrumental. He would be up before I will, and he would be at that door beating on my door. And I would be beating on that door. I'll be in the room dressed, and then when I finally get dressed, I'll open up the door. I say, "What you want, man? No, I'm up. I'm ready to go." You know, just the kind of irritated look that he was making sure that I get my butt up and go to class all the time. I used to have fun with him coming, like beating on my door and saying, "In there."
Well, I met him around the same time I met you for the very first time, and I've just had so many people that have told me what an amazing influence he was on them, and I think it was important to reference what Coach White was all about. Talking to George.
No, we couldn't have done without him. Yeah. We couldn't have done it without him. He was a big influence on me. I mean, he was every school day, he was at my door saying, "You ain't got to go to class, but you're going to get out of here."
Coach White, he is something, some kind of man. He really is. George, I think what endeared you to a lot of fans during your career at Carolina, not just your spectacular talents as a running back, as a football player, but you would always give credit to George Schechterle and Chuck Slaughter and Willie Scott and players like that.
Man,
and you had so many good offensive linemen to help you.
Oh, ain't no question about that. I mean, those guys are first. I mean, I used to do that Copenhagen and that goal, that dip. I'm so glad I got away from that. but even back then, you know, they were kind of hesitant to give it to me because they were like, "I don't like giving you mine because you're like, you take too much of it. I don't want you to take a big dip of it." I would take a big dip. They were like, "Hey, I don't like giving you mine." Those were my boys, though. I was always cherished the memory that I had with all my offensive linemen and of course, Johnny Wright and Spencer Clark and some of those guys, too.
Yeah, good times back then. Being the first pick and playing for Bum Phillips, you talked about that. Earl came along. You went to play for Coach Joe Gibbs, and Coach Gibbs had so many wonderful things to say about you. And I could even see, George, in his face in the documentary, it really took him back, it seemed, 30 years to a difficult time to tell you weren't going to get as big a role in that Super Bowl. And yet you mentioned in there, hey, and you show the ring. I got a ring, you know. I mean, there again, just speaks to the kind of person and team player that you were. But that can't be easy for somebody who was one of the great running backs of the 1980s.
Well, I guarantee you it wasn't easy, but you know what? I am a team player, though. I can say that. You know, Timmy Smith was a lot better player than I was at that time, and he deserved to play. And I got a Super Bowl ring, and that's what I wanted. And Coach Gibbs and all the linemen, everybody, we made sure we got one. So, you know, we came back and won the game, and Doug Williams was the MVP. But I think Timmy Smith should have got MVP.
Yeah.
208 yards rushing. I mean, that ain't bad.
Yeah, no question. And another thing too, and I did not know this story. I love the statue down there, and was across the street when you were being unveiled that particular day a couple years ago down at Williams-Brice. But I had never heard the story until watching the documentary about why you chose the particular pose and picture for the sculptor to use. Tell us that story again.
Well, I always wanted to watch the other guys play. You know, the guys that were coming in behind me, I wanted to cheer for them too, man, because I want the program to progress. You know, even when I leave, I want to see who's going to be running the ball next, and Carr West and the rest of the guys was doing real good. Person Reed, who was running back, my roommate. I want to see them do real good too. So I was cheering for the defense and the offense when I was off the field.
Yeah, and that's where that one came from, and that's why George is standing on a bench, and then they showed the photograph that they used to get it done. Last thing I'll leave you with is the final part of it all, and again, it just brings up the emotion from me being a little kid, and I think you turned grown people into little kids back then. Again, myself being a 10-year-old when you were awarded the trophy, but seeing you today, George, and that smile with little kids – I know you want to pass things along. We know that the George Rogers Foundation helps first-generation college students, but it really does feel genuine that every time you meet a little guy, somebody who was not close to being alive when you won that trophy, and yet they see it, they hold it, they touch it, and there you are. Give us an idea of what goes through you every time something like that happens.
Well, I want the guys to know that, hey, if you dream it, you can do it. If you believe in it, you can do it. If you got other people helping you, you can do it. And that's what happened to me. I thought I was all right player, but my doctor just walked in, and you guys ain't got nothing else to say to me, okay?
George, we appreciate you, all man. Right. It's a great documentary, and I know we'll talk to you again real soon. Congrats, man.
All right, thanks, man. Appreciate
you
it.
Bet. You bet. That is George Rogers. Yeah, he's had a doctor's appointment. He told us that, too. So he said the doc might walk in. But that now we were wrapping it up anyway. Once again, if you've not had a chance to see it, please do. Even if you're, you might not even be a Carolina fan. You might be somebody who's here with the military or anything. But if you want to really have a look at what a Heisman Trophy winner can do to grip a community in a positive way that had not been done before and in a lot of ways has not been done since, I urge you to check out King George. But like I say, Tommy, I'm quite serious. As a 10-year-old sitting there watching it, I reverted back, and I don't mind admitting that, yeah, that it was it brought chills, man. It was just such a special time in Columbia, South Carolina.
And as much as I enjoyed it, I envy you being a 10-year-old. When it happened, right? Because if I had been a 10-year-old and the Gamecocks were doing stuff like that, winning Heisman trophies, I don't know, I would have just been just absolutely giddy.
I was over the moon. I can assure you, it was something special. That was George Rogers. Really do appreciate his time, and we'll put that up for you online at 107.5thegame.com.